Section 12, Heralding the Message in Other Continents.
Sounding the Message in Europe. Subheading, The Whole Earth to be Illuminated. At this time, there should be representatives of present truth in every city and in the remote parts of the earth. The whole earth is to be illuminated with the glory of God's truth. The light is to shine to all lands and all peoples, and it is from those who have received the light that it is to shine forth. Certain countries have advantages that mark them as centers of education and influence. In the English-speaking nations and the Protestant nations of Europe, it is comparatively easy to find access to the people, and there are many advantages for establishing institutions and carrying forward our work. America has many institutions to give character to the work. Similar facilities should be furnished for England, Australia, Germany, and Scandinavia, and other continental countries as the work advances. In these countries, the Lord has able workmen, laborers of experience. These can lead out in the establishment of institutions, the training of workers, and the carrying forward of the work in its different lines. God designs that they shall be furnished with means and facilities. The institutions established would give character to the work in other countries and would give opportunity for the training of workers for the darker heathen nations. In this way, the efficiency of our experienced workers would be multiplied 100-fold. It pains me to think that greater facilities are not provided for the work throughout Europe. I have sore heartache as I think of the work in Switzerland, Germany, Norway, and Sweden, where there are one or two men struggling to carry forward the different branches of the cause. There should be hundreds at work. Testimonies, Volume 6, pages 24 to 26, 1900. Subheading, Great Work in Europe. There is a great work to be done in Europe. All heaven takes an interest not only in lands that are nigh and that need our help, but in lands that are afar off. All the inhabitants of heaven are in active service, ministering to a fallen world. They take a deep and fervent interest in the salvation of men, the fallen inhabitants of this world. Manuscript 65, 1900. A great work is committed to those who present the truth in Europe. There are France and Germany, with their great cities and teeming population. There are Italy, Spain, and Portugal, after so many centuries of darkness, opened to the Word of God, opened to receive the last message of warning to the world. There are Holland, Austria, Romania, Turkey, Greece, and Russia, the home of millions upon millions whose souls are as precious in the sight of God as our own, who know nothing of the special truths for this time. A good work has already been done in these countries. There are those who receive the truth, scattered as light bearers in almost every land. But how little has been done in comparison with the great work before us. Angels of God are moving upon the minds of the people and preparing them to receive the warning. Missionaries are needed in the fields that have yet been scarcely entered. New fields are constantly opening. The truth must be translated into different languages, that all nations may enjoy its pure, life-giving influences. Life Sketches, pages 304, 305, 1915. Subheading, The Call for a Broad, Substantial Work. The time has come for much to be accomplished in Europe. A large work, such as has been done in America, can be done in Europe. Let sanitariums be established. Let hygienic restaurants be started. Let the light of the present truth shine forth from the press. Let the work of translating our books go forward. I have been shown that in the European countries, lights will be kindled in many places. There are many places where the Lord's work has not a proper showing. Help is needed in Italy, in France, in Scotland, and in many other countries. A larger work should be done in these places. Laborers are needed. There is talent among God's people in Europe, and the Lord desires this talent to be employed in establishing all through Great Britain and the continent centers from which the light of His truth may shine forth. There is a work to be done in Scandinavia. God is just as willing to work through Scandinavian believers as through American believers. My brethren, bind up with the Lord God of hosts. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. The time has come for his work to be enlarged. Troublous times are before us. But if we stand together in Christian fellowship, none striving for supremacy, God will work mightily for us. Testimonies, Volume 8, page 38, 1904. Subheading, Greater Effort Needed in Europe. It will require far greater effort to accomplish the work than in America because of the poverty of the people. Then the ministers are so plentiful. We think of the words of the apostle, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. As soon as the truth is brought to the place, the ministers of the different churches become alarmed and send at once for ministers to come in and commence revival meetings. Here, they're called conferences. These meetings will continue for weeks, and no less than 10 ministers will be on hand. The very best talent will be enlisted, and warnings and threatenings will be poured out from the churches against the Seventh-day people who are classed with Mormons and who, they say, are breaking up churches and causing divisions. It is very hard to get any hold of the people. The only way that we find to be successful is in holding Bible readings, and in this way the interest is started with one or two or three. Then these visit others and try to interest others, and thus the work moves slowly as it has done in Lausanne. But 20 have embraced the truth there, and this is not all the good that has been accomplished, for the young men who are preparing themselves for laborers have here had a good drill and received an education that will fit them for greater usefulness in the cause of God. Letter 44, 1886. Subheading, Reaching European State Church Members. From the light that has been given me concerning the people in this part of the country, and perhaps all through Europe, there is danger in presenting the truth of arousing their combativeness. There is little harmony between present truth and the doctrines of the church in which many of the people have been born and brought up, and they are so filled with prejudice and so completely under the control of their ministers that in many cases they dare not even come to hear the truth presented. The question then arises, how can these people be reached? How can the great work of the third angel's message be accomplished? It must be largely accomplished by persevering individual effort, by visiting the people at their homes. Historical Sketches, pages 149, 150, 1886. Subheading, The Silent Messenger. But, says one, suppose we cannot gain admittance to the homes of the people. And if we do, suppose they rise up against the truths that we present. Shall we not then feel excused from making further efforts for them? By no means. Even if they shut the door in your face, do not hasten away in indignation and make no further effort to save them. Ask God in faith to give you access to those very souls. Cease not your efforts, but study and plan until you find some other means of reaching them. If you do not succeed by personal visits, try sending them the silent messenger of truth. There is so much pride of opinion in the human heart that our publications often gain admittance where the living messenger cannot. I have been shown how reading matter on present truth is sometimes treated by many people in Europe and in other countries. A person receives a tract or paper. He reads a little in it, finds something that does not agree with his form of views, and throws it aside. But the few words he did read are not forgotten. Unwelcome though they are, they remain in the mind until an interest is awakened to read further on the subject. Again the paper is taken up. Again the reader finds something in it that is opposed to his long-cherished opinions and custom, and he angrily flings it aside. But the rejected messenger says nothing to increase his opposition or arouse his combativeness. And when the force of his anger dies away and the paper is again brought out, it tells the same simple, straightforward story, and he finds in it precious gems. Angels of God are near to impress the unspoken word upon his heart, and though loath to do so, he last yields, and light takes possession of his soul. Those who are thus unwillingly converted often prove to be among the most substantial believers, and their experience teaches them to labor perseveringly for others. Historical Sketches, page 150, 1886. Subheading, Open Air and Tent Meetings. I was requested to speak in regard to holding tent meetings in Europe. I told them, according to the light the Lord had given me, tents could be used to good advantage in some places, and if conducted properly, would result in great good. I did not know at this time why they called me out on this, but learned that it was because Brother Blank had previously spoken rather against tents being the best for meeting house purposes. I then presented my objections in regard to open-air meetings. It was very wearing to our ministers because taxing to the vocal organs. The voice was strained to an unnatural pitch and would be greatly injured by this method of labor. Another objection was that discipline and order could not be preserved. Such labor would not encourage studious habits in diligently seeking the scriptures to bring from God's storehouse things both new and old. Letter 2, 1885. Subheading, God Will Work Mightily. There is a great work to be done in Europe. It may seem to move slowly and hard at first, but God will work mightily through you if you will only make an entire surrender to Him. Much of the time you will have to walk by faith, not by feeling. Historical Sketches, pages 128, 129, 1886. Subheading, To the Ends of the Earth. The light of truth is to shine to the ends of the earth. Greater and still greater light is beaming with celestial brightness from the Redeemer's face upon His representatives to be diffused through the darkness of a benighted world. As laborers together with Him, let us pray for the sanctification of His Spirit that we may shine more and more brightly. Our efforts are not to be confined to a few places where the light has become so abundant that it is not appreciated. The gospel message is to be proclaimed to all nations and kindreds and tongues and peoples. Testimonies, Volume 8, page 40, 1904. Subheading, To Belt the World. God has qualified His people to enlighten the world. He has entrusted men with faculties that adapt them to extend and accomplish a work that will belt the world. Sanitariums, schools, printing offices, and kindred facilities are to be established in all parts of the earth. But this work has not yet been done. In foreign countries, many enterprises that require means must yet be begun and carried forward. The opening of hygienic restaurants, the establishment of sanitariums for the care of the sick and suffering, is just as necessary in Germany as in America. Let all do their best, making their boast in the Lord and blessing others by their good works. Christ cooperates with those who engage in medical missionary work. Men and women who unselfishly do what they can to establish sanitariums and treatment rooms in many lands will be richly rewarded. Those who visit these institutions will be benefited physically, mentally, and spiritually. The weary will be refreshed, the sick will be restored to health, and the sin burden will be relieved. In far-off countries, thanksgiving will be heard from the lips of those whose hearts are turned from the service of sin unto righteousness. By their songs of grateful praise, a testimony is born that will win other souls to the truth. Heading, England and its Cities, subheading, How Are They to Be Warned? Here are the great cities in England and on the continent with their millions of inhabitants that have not yet heard the last warning message. How are these to be warned? If the people of God would only exercise faith, He would work in a wonderful manner to accomplish this work. Hear the words of Christ. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Precious promise. Do we believe it? What marvelous results would appear if the united prayers of this company were to ascend to God in living faith. Jesus stands ready to take these petitions and present them to His Father, saying, I know these persons by name. Send answers to their prayers, for I have graven their names on the palms of my hands. Historical Sketches, page 152, 1886. Subheading, Presenting the Truth in London. There is need of zeal in the church and wisdom to manage that zeal. You have made altogether too tame work of saving souls. If you see a work done in London and the surrounding cities, you must have a united, irresistible force. Press the battle to the gate and plant the standard firmly, as if you meant that truth should triumph. The timidity, the cautious movements have been faithless. There's been little expectation of results. The fact that things move slowly in England has no reason why the great missionary work shall move slowly to meet man's habits and customs for fear of surprising the people. They need to be much more surprised than they have hitherto been. The Lord's business requires haste. Souls are perishing without a knowledge of the truth. caution is needed. But while some of the workers are guarded and make hay slowly, if they are not united with them in the work, those who see the necessity of being aggressive, very much will be lost. Opportunities will pass, and the opening providence of God will not be discerned. Letter 31, 1892. Subheading, Great Work in England. There is a great work to be done in England. The light radiating from London should beam forth in clear, distinct rays to regions beyond. God has wrought in England, but this English-speaking world has been terribly neglected. England has needed many more laborers and much more means. London has been scarcely touched. My heart is deeply moved as the situation in that great city is presented before me. In the city of London alone, no fewer than 100 men should be engaged. The Lord marks the neglect of his work, and there will be a heavy account to settle by and by. Testimonies, Volume 6, pages 25, 26, 1900. Subheading, An Army of Workers. It seems to me that the necessity of the work in England is a very important question to us in this country. We talk about China and other countries. Let us not forget the English-speaking countries, where if the truth were presented, many would receive and practice it. Why is it that more work has not been done in England? What has been the matter? The workers could not get means. Does this speak to us of the necessity of economy in every line? Let no one suppose that the work in London can be carried forward by one or two. This is not the right plan. While there must be those who can oversee the work, there is to be an army of workers striving to reach the different classes of people. House-to-house work must be done. General Conference Bulletin, April 22, 1901. Subheading, Financial Help Will Come. There is a work to be done in London. I have been given light that this work can be done, that help will come from outside. Those who have money will give of their means. You need not be delicate about asking them for money. General Conference Bulletin, April 22, 1901. Subheading, Place of Meeting, Hire Good Halls. The work in England might now be much farther advanced than it is if our brethren at the beginning of the work there had not tried to work in so cheap a way. If they had hired good halls and carried forward the work as though we had great truths, which would surely be victorious, they would have had greater success. God would have the work started in such a way that the first impressions given shall be, as far as they go, the very best that can be made. Gospel Workers, page 462, 1915. Subheading, Caste and Class Problems. True, there are many difficulties to be met in presenting the truth, even in Christian England. One of the greatest of these is the difference in the condition of the three principal classes and the feeling of caste, which is very strong in this country. In the city, the capitalists, the shopkeepers, and the day laborers, and in the country, the landlords, the tenant farmers, and the farm laborers form three general classes, between whom there are wide differences in education, in sentiment, and in circumstances. It is very difficult for one person to labor for all classes at the very same time. Wealth means greatness and power. Poverty, little less than slavery. This is an order of things that God never designed should exist. Historical Sketches, page 164, 1886. Subheading, The Higher Classes Reach Through Lower. In a country where so large a part of the people are kept in such a state of servitude to the wealthy, and the higher classes are held in bondage by long-established customs, it is only to be expected that the advancement of unpopular truth will at first be slow. But if the brethren will be patient and the laborers will be fully awake and thoroughly in earnest to improve every opportunity which presents itself for spreading the light, we're sure that an abundant harvest of souls will yet be reaped from English soil. By tact and perseverance, ample means will be found for reaching the people. There will no doubt always be difficulty in reaching the higher classes, but the truth will often find its way to the noblemen by first reaching the middle and poorer classes. Historical Sketches, page 166, 1886. Subheading, A Careful Work Called For. Because you do not see the same results in Old England that you did in Australia, you should not demerit that which has already been gained. There are some precious souls in Grimsby, in Alsaby, and others will be gathered in. There are some good souls in Southampton, and the brother I met at Brother Blank's, and the few who are connected with him are, I judge, good material. Because they do not see every point just as we do requires wisdom in treating their cases, that we should unite wherever we can and not make the breach any greater between us. That Sister Blank, I believe, will come to the front if wise management is exercised in her case. Such ones must not be left indifferently, but effort should be made to bring them into the noble truth. We want that woman as a worker. It is a nice work to hunt up the sheep and to make every exertion to bring them in. It will take time to rid them of all their strange ideas and erratic views, but we must be patient and not drive them from us. God is working with them, and as I look over the past, I see discouragements just as great that we have had to master and still have to contend with as in Old England. Letter 50, 1887. Subheading, God Will Care for the Faithful in England. Accompanied by Brother S. H. Lane, we went to Risley, a small town about 40 miles from London. Here Brother Lane and Durland had been holding a tent meeting for 4 weeks. The tent seated about 300, and in the evening it was full, and a large number stood outside. My heart was especially drawn out for this people, and I would gladly have remained longer with them. Of the audience, it could be said, there were honorable women, not a few. Several of those had commenced to keep the Sabbath. Many of the men were convinced of the truth, but the question with them was not whether they could keep the Sabbath and have the conveniences and luxuries of life, but whether they could obtain bread, simple bread, for their children. Some conscientious souls have begun to keep the Sabbath. The faith of such will be severely tested. But will not he who careth for the ravens care much more for those who love and fear him? God's eye is upon his conscientious, faithful children in England, and he will make a way for them to keep all his commandments. Historical Sketches, page 163, 1886. Heading, The Cities of Northern Europe. Subheading, Come Up to the Help of the Lord. In my last vision, I was shown the importance of the work in Northern Europe. The people are awakening to the truth. The Lord has given Elder Matteson a testimony to reach hearts, but the work is just entered upon. With a judicious, self-sacrificing labor, many souls will be brought to the knowledge of the truth. There should be several unselfish, God-fearing workers in this missionary field who will labor for souls as they must give account in the day of the judgment. I have been shown that not all is being done by our Swedish, Norwegian, and Danish brethren that they might and should do for their own countrymen. As soon as they embrace the truth, they ought to feel the fire of missionary zeal kindled in their hearts for their brethren in the darkness of error. Many are looking for help from their American brethren while they do not do their duty and feel the burden God requires them to feel for those of their own nation. They may do very much more than they are now doing if they will. These brethren must overcome selfishness and arouse to a sense of their responsibilities to God and their fellow countrymen, or they will lose the precious reward they might secure by putting their talents of means into the treasury of God, and by wisely directed personal effort, thus being instrumental in the salvation of many souls. Young men should be educated to become missionaries to their own nation, to teach the truth to those in darkness. Publication should be printed in Europe, but at the present time, and this note was written in 1879, there is altogether too much ease and too little zeal among the Danes, Swedes, and Norwegians who believe the truth in this country to sustain such a continual drain upon their funds. And for this reason, I urge upon them the necessity of coming up into working order, feeling even a greater interest for their own people than the American brethren have shown. God requires that these brethren should come up to the help of the Lord without delay. The Advent Review Supplement, February 6, 1879. Subheading, Habits and Customs Vary, But Human Nature Is the Same. You must go to work here, just as we did in America. Have your track societies and other facilities, and although it may seem at times that the publications in some places do not accomplish much, you must go right on. We have had just such experiences in America. But we keep to the point in sending out these publications to different classes, and it was some time before we could make any advancement. I have been shown that there must be a different mold put upon the work here in these kingdoms, and there must be a power from God of heaven to inspire you to work in a different way. And while Brother Madison and Olson will help you in the work here, I wish to throw this out to you now so that you can begin to think in a different strain. Why, you can do tenfold more than you think you can. But an unbelief stands right here to say you cannot do anything in this line or that, but you can, brethren. Habits and customs are different here from what they are in America, but human nature is the same here as there. And the brethren who have taken hold of the truth in the heart are willing to work if they are only educated up to the point to know how to work. Why, brethren, I have not slept night after night more than 3 hours, thinking of the work in Europe, and it seems to me that I can hardly contain myself in the body when I realize these things. I have seen what God is willing to do for you, but it is just according to your faith what God will do for you. Therefore, we want to arouse your faith and to get your ideas broadened, and may the Lord roll the burden of the work upon every one of you who believe the truth. Manuscript 6, 1886. Subheading, Broad Plans for Copenhagen. If in this rich and beautiful city, Copenhagen, there is no suitable room where the truth can be presented to the people, we remember that there was no room in the inn at Bethlehem for the mother of Jesus, and that the Savior of the world was born in a stable. I'm far from being convinced that these small and obscure halls were the best places that could be secured, or that in this great city of 320,000 inhabitants, the message should be given in a basement room that will accommodate but 200, and this but half-seated, so that a large part of the congregation have to stand. When God sends our brethren help, they should make earnest effort, even at some expense, to bring the light before the people. This message is to be given to the world. But unless our brethren have broad ideas and plans, they will not see much accomplished. While we should labor earnestly for the poorer classes, we are not to confine our efforts to them, nor should our plans be so laid that we shall have only this class of hearers. Men of ability are needed. The more intellectual ability is brought into the work, so long as the talent is consecrated to God and sanctified by His Spirit, the more perfect the work will be, and the higher it will stand before the world. The people generally will refuse the message of warning, yet efforts must be made to bring the truth before those of position and education, as well as the poor and illiterate. Historical Sketches, pages 183, 184, 1886. Subheading, Sweden's Hall Problem. In Örebro, as well as in Copenhagen, I am convinced that we might have had a good hearing if our brethren had secured a suitable hall to accommodate the people. But they did not expect much, and therefore did not receive much. We cannot expect people to come out to hear unpopular truths when the meetings are advertised to be held in a basement or in a small hall that will seat only 100 persons. The character and importance of our work are judged by the efforts made to bring it before the public. When these efforts are so limited, the impression is given that the message we present is not worthy of notice. Thus, by their lack of faith, our laborers sometimes make the work very hard for themselves. Historical Sketches, page 200, 1886. Subheading, Northern Europe's Harvest Evident. I was shown that many in Northern Europe had embraced the truth through reading. Their souls were hungering for light and knowledge when some tracts or papers came into their hands, and they were represented to me as reading. The wants of their souls were met. The Spirit of God softened and impressed their hearts. Tears were in their eyes, and sobs came from burdened hearts. They knelt with the leaflets in their hands and with earnest prayer besought the Lord to lead them and help them to receive the light as it was from Him. Some surrendered themselves to God. Uncertainty was gone, and as they accepted the truth upon the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, they felt that they were indeed standing upon the rock of ages. Many persons scattered all through Northern Europe were presented to me as being ready to accept the light of truth. The Advent Review Supplement, February 6, 1879. Heading, In Southern Europe, subheading, Preaching and Personal Ministry in Italy. The Piedmont valleys have been spoken of. But the light that I have had, there are, all through these valleys, precious souls who will receive the truth. I have no personal knowledge of these places, but they were presented to me as being in some way connected with God's work of the past. He now has an advanced step for this people to take. Those who labor in these valleys must take a deep interest in their work, or they will not succeed. The third angel is represented as flying through the midst of heaven. The work is one that must be done quickly. They must keep in working order, laboring intelligently and with consecration, and be prepared by the grace of God to meet opposition. They are not only to preach, but to minister. As they go forth to labor, they are to make personal efforts for the people, coming heart to heart with them as they open to them the Scriptures. There may be, first, only a few here and a few there who will accept the truth, but when these are truly converted, they will labor for others, and soon, with proper efforts, larger companies will be raised up, and the work will move forward more rapidly. There is a great work yet to be accomplished in the fields from which you heard reports. All through these countries, there is precious talent that God will use, and we must be wide awake to secure it. Historical Sketches, page 147, 1886. Subheading, Many Will Take Their Stand for the Truth. The angel that joins the third angel is to lighten the earth with his glory. There will be many, even in these valleys in northern Italy, where the work seems to start with such difficulty, who will recognize the voice of God speaking to them through his word, and coming out from under the influence of the clergy, will take their stand for God and the truth. This field is not an easy one in which to labor, nor is it one which will show immediate results. But there is an honest people here who will obey in time. Historical Sketches, page 249, 1886. Subheading, Effective Personal Work in Italy. It is not always pleasant for our brethren to live where the people need help most. But their laborers would often be productive of far more good if they would do so. They ought to come close to the people, sit with them at their tables, and lodge in their humble homes. The laborers may have to take their families to places not at all desirable, but they should remember that Jesus did not remain in the most desirable places. He came down to earth that he might help those who needed help. Historical Sketches, page 148, 1886. Unless the attention of the people is gained, all effort for them will be useless. The word of God cannot be understood by the inattentive. They need a plain, thus saith the Lord, to arrest their attention. Let them see that their cases are tried and condemned by the Bible, not by the lips of man, that they are arraigned before the bar of infinite justice, not before an earthly tribunal. When the plain, cutting truth of the Bible is presented before them, it comes directly across long-cherished desires and confirmed habits. They are convicted. And then it is that they especially need your counsel, encouragement, and prayer. Many a precious soul balances for a time, then it takes his position on the side of error because he does not have this personal effort at the right time. Historical Sketches, page 148, 1886. Heading, Working the Australasian Cities, subheading, Many Souls from Sydney. There is a work to do all over the world. And as we near the time of the end, the Lord will impress many minds to engage in this work. If you are able to use your influence in setting in operation the work that needs to be done in Sydney, many souls will be saved who have never yet heard the truth. The cities are to be worked. the saving power of God is to go forth through them as a lamp that burneth. Letter 79, 1905. Subheading, Opportune Evangelism in Sydney. There's now a more decided work to be done in Sydney and the vicinity. All the suburbs are in a better condition to be worked than at any former period, and the advantages now presented in doing medical missionary work need more calculation and experience brought into the management of the work. There are many branches that will grow out of the plant now made in Sydney, and every line of work needs experienced managers that part may unite with part, making a harmonious whole. Letter 63A, 1898. Subheading, Promises More in Some Lands. The medical missionary work promises to do more in Australia than it has in America to open the way for the truth to gain access to the people. May the Lord's people now heed the invitations of God's opening providence and realize that it is an opportune time to work. Letter 41, 1899. Subheading, Every Town and Village to Hear. There are many places to be worked. Every town or village on the railway is to have the message the Lord has given us. We cannot stop to rejoice over a few victories. We must press the battle to the very gate. The Lord has never left himself without a witness. The truth must be presented in the different suburbs of Newcastle. At times we may have to speak in the open air. I have done this on two Sunday afternoons with good results. There is Auburn, a place 8 miles from Currumbong, where they have secured a church in which I am to speak as soon as I can find time, which will be next Sunday or 1 week from Sunday. If they had not given us permission to speak in the churches, we should have held a meeting in the open air. Letter 76, 1899. Subheading, Experience in the Rural Areas. We are now holding meetings in the open air. I have spoken twice recently to 90 people at Dora Creek, a place 3 miles from Currumbong, and 2 weeks ago last Sunday at Martinsville in a grassy paddock, to 60 souls. Planks had been arranged in a half circle for seats. Some were seated on rugs on the grass. Others were in carriages just outside the fence. There was no other way to reach these people but by holding open-air meetings. There seemed to be a deep interest manifested by some. Two or three are now on the point of deciding, and the ripening fields are already for the harvest. Unless we make decided effort to go outside our own immediate circle to meet the people where they are, we shall miss the saving of many souls. There's not the least chance of getting into the little rough churches in the bush. We have been refused all chance to speak to the people in this way. But in the Lord's great temple, the open air, the heavens our dome, and the earth our floor, we can obtain hearers who would otherwise not hear. We feel intensely over the matter of lifting the standard of truth in these places. The people have no shepherd. The state church in Currumbong stands locked week after week, and the people hear no preaching. We see that there is a great work to be done in out-of-the-way places in the open air. I have an appointment for such a meeting next Sunday afternoon at Dura Creek. We have now two places where these meetings are held. Letter 79, 1899. Subheading, Experience in Reaching Those Who Would Not Enter a Hall. I see so much to do. I cannot see any place where I can let go my hold. Souls are perishing, and I must help them. I speak in the church and out of the church. We drive out into the country places and speak in the open air because the prejudice against the truth is so great that the people will not consent to our speaking in little rough houses where they assemble for worship. On Sunday, we went to Dora Creek, 3 miles away, and spoke to the people in the open air. About 90 persons were gathered there, and I had much freedom in presenting to them Christ as the great healer and wonderful teacher. All listened with interest. By this means, I can reach a class who will not come to any hall or meeting house. We have good singing. Letter 74, 1899. Subheading, A Great Work Called For in New Zealand. We can see a great work to be done in this field and long to have facilities to work with. I will speak of Wellington. It is a place where churches are abundant and there are plenty of ministers. This is the capital and great center of New Zealand. A mission should be established here. A church, if ever so humble, should be erected. Letter 9A, 1893. Subheading, Cities of Europe, Australia, and Regions Beyond. There is now means tied up that should be in use for the unworked cities in Europe, Australia, and America, and in the regions beyond. These cities have been neglected for years. The angels of God are waiting for us to give our labors for their inhabitants. From town to town, from city to city, from country to country, the warning message is to be proclaimed, not with outward display, but in the power of the Spirit, by men of faith. Manuscript 11, 1908.